Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Don Lambro is here, too, because he's a very important person in our community and member of our Brain Trust. He's chief political reporter for the Washington Times. And this guy, ladies and gentlemen, has had an incredible career. It's one that I really admire. And in a lot of ways, I envy him for some of the things. In many ways, I envy him for the things that he's been able to do in his career. Don, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Good morning.
It's good to have you back. Don, I know something about you that I mentioned earlier that I really envy you for, and that is you're having interviewed President Ronald Reagan on a number of occasions, and if I'm not mistaken, at least twice in the White House.
Right, I had two interviews in the Oval Office, and both were newsmakers. You know, in the news business, timing is everything.
Right.
Well, the first one was in 81. It was after he had recovered from his assassination attempt. Told me how he had come back, how he had added an inch to his chest to rebuild himself with
wow.
Exercises. And the big thing, of course, it was his administration was hit by his budget director, David Stockman, who had been secretly meeting with a Washington Post reporter, and in the article that came out said that no one in the White House knew whether the budget numbers would ever work, and they didn't know what they were doing. Created quite a stir.
I remember that.
And so he had not commented yet on Stockman. He had been told that he was taken to the woodshed by Reagan. But so that was the first remarks that Reagan was responding to these incredible disclosures about Stockman. And so
that was a tough year.
Reagan,
that was a tough year for him.
Fire anybody. He blamed it on the media, and he blamed it on the reporter, and not on Stockman. But it made front page headlines, and it was a great interview, a great story about a lot of things. That was a number of interviews that I had with him over the years.
Right. Well, I'm sure everybody around the world, the smallest little village in China, by now probably knows that Ronald Reagan has died at 93, died Saturday, and you know, I couldn't help but be struck by his timing. You know, his death on the the day before D-Day celebration and our memorial, I guess I should say, and also, I mean, look what's going to be happening around the time that he's going to be that his funeral is going to be in Washington. The G8's coming over here, and they're coming over here this week, aren't they?
I believe they are.
So.
He's been someone who has always had great luck, great political luck, and great timing, in part because of his own skills, but in part because he probably would say someone was watching over him, and he believed in a certain degree of fate. He was an optimist, but, you know, who could have better timing than to be inaugurated as president? And on the hour that you're inaugurated, the Iranian hostages are freed on your watch. What a way to start off your presidency. And so this timing was great. And, of course, in the darkest hours of the 81-82 recession, nearly 10% of American workers were laid off.
Right.
He brought the country back, made it feel good about itself, and kept everybody, feeling that there was light at the end of the tunnel and that America could get out of this. And, of course, in the end, we did big time, not so much because of just optimism, but because of policy.
Right.
And the right policy, of course, was the same policy that John F. Kennedy used when he proposed cutting tax rates, and Reagan did the same thing, and the American economy responded, and we're still seeing the benefits of that today.
You know, Don, after the divisive Vietnam War, we had America's first presidential resignation, 4 years. We had 4 years of national malaise under the administration of the feckless Jimmy Carter. Reagan made us proud to be Americans again. And you know, whenever, in my opinion, when the people, when Americans, the last remaining superpower, when we feel good about ourselves, I believe that's a good thing for everybody who loves freedom and who wants freedom, regardless of where they live in the world.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, he made us feel good about ourselves, but America always has been a very optimistic, can-do country. I mean, that's how we became a great nation, because it was part of the fabric of the American people, and he understood that. And sometimes we lose that a little bit, or leaders lose that sense. Certainly we saw that under Jimmy Carter, and a political, I think, climate in which the politics of the day seem to be self-criticism and blame America first and pessimism. And Reagan would have none of that. And so he came to the fore at the right time and sort of rekindled what was in the American heart, I think. Americans are optimistic about the future.
Mm-hmm.
And very much like FDR. In a very dark time, we forget how bad it was. You know, this in 1984, at this time, unemployment was still about 7%, 8% in January of 84. And on November, when the voters went to the poll, it was about 7%. You know, the Democrats are saying, oh, this is the worst unemployment rate since the Great Depression. Well, much worse then. And, of course, much worse than the Great Depression with 25% unemployed.
Right.
But he won 49 states because people believed his policy was working. And we're seeing the very same politics in George W. Bush today. I mean, he's running ads comparing pessimism and optimism, Kerry and Bush, and one pessimistic about the future and criticizing America, and one optimistic that we're on our way back. And you know something? The economy is on its way back. So there's a lot of parallels here with 1984.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I think about Ronald Reagan is how much he believed in people. At a time when politicians and intellectuals around the world were minimizing the ability of the individual to know what was best for him or her, Reagan believed that only when human beings are free to seek their own goals in life do the challenges of the world become manageable. And that, to me, that was one of the great characteristics of Ronald Reagan. He believed in people.
Believing in the people and of course condemning the evil empire. He was the first president, you know, that said the emperor has no clothes. There's a quote in the paper today from a Russian who remembers that time when Reagan gave his statement at a White House news conference about the evil empire of the Soviet Union. And this Russian said he was stunned. He says, we knew it to be true, but to hear someone say that
right.
from the podium
right.
was a revelation.
Right, absolutely.
And of course, the whole thing crumbled around.
Stand by, Don. Quick break, folks. 20 after. We'll be right back with our good friend Don Lambro. More remembrances of Ronald Reagan. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And if you subscribe this week, you'll get the article I wrote this weekend called Leadership Lessons from Ronald Reagan. And it's where I talk about the different kind of leadership qualities, the qualities that a great leader has. And I give you examples of how Reagan demonstrated those characteristics. And so you still got time to get that if you subscribe this week. Don Lambro is our guest, and he's a guy who actually knew Ronald Reagan. I just admired him, but Don knew him and interviewed him several times in his work as a reporter with the Washington Times. And by the way, Don, I know your column is available in your byline around the country in dozens of papers, but they can also find you in the Washington Times and also online, can't they?
That's correct.
And that's at WashingtonTimes.com?
Yep.
Okay. Don, this week, there are plenty of people, this weekend and this week, there'll be plenty of people talking about all the great things that Ronald Reagan did, and I'm certainly one of them. I'm promoting that myself in the things that I'm writing and saying. But there will be a time, maybe not too long, too far from now, when people will stop and say, well, okay, yeah, he did some great things, but he also had some negatives. There were some black marks on his record, and he had some liabilities on his balance sheet. And they'll be talking about that, and there'll be articles written about it. In fact, somebody has already sent me one this morning from responding from my news to my newsletter about that. The interesting thing is nobody would appreciate that fact, the fact that we have a ballot, we all have balance sheets with assets and liabilities. Nobody would appreciate that more than Ronald Reagan, would they?
No, I suppose not. He would. He was very self-deprecating, and someone who didn't care who got the credit for it. The important thing for him was that the policy worked. He didn't hog the camera. He let the rest of his administration do the nuts and bolts. He charted the big policies. And, you know, there were those who said back then, no, he didn't work hard, and he took naps and took a lot of vacations. and he once cracked that they say that hard work never killed anyone, but I figure why take a chance. But he was an incredibly hard worker. When I walked into the Oval Office to interview him for the first time as president, one thing that struck me was his desk. You know, we see pictures of the president and sitting at his desk, and the desk looks immaculately clean,
yeah,
very little on it. Well, Reagan's desk was covered with books and with papers and with a large legal pad, and he was putting down his pen, and it was a lot written on that legal pad, and he had books that were open on, and other reports. You couldn't see the desk. It was covered with material, and he
that
was working
me,
away,
Don,
sitting in his
sure.
shirt sleeves, by the way. He wasn't in his coat. People said, well, he never took his coat off in the Oval Office. Well, he puts his coat on when the camera, when the
right.
White House photographer came in.
Well, that makes me feel
Californian.
That makes me feel better, Don. If you could see my desk, you'd know why I say that. What is the thing that you think he regrets the most about his 8 years in the White House? If you were going to say what he thought would be his biggest regret, what do you think it would be?
Well, I would think certainly a sharper eye on Iran-Contra. Of course, that all grew out of something that he deeply believed in, which was fighting the communists in Central America, fighting the Sandinistas so that the Nicaraguans could have a free democratic society. And then, of course, the money that went pay hostages, and I think keeping a sharper eye on that. But his heart was in the right place, and his motivations were correct. But I think that would probably be the one thing that he would probably regret more, and maybe the inability to reduce the size of government more than he did. But he did fight waste, fraud, and abuse. He did use my book, Fat City, How Washington Wastes Your Taxes.
Yeah.
And the inspector generals were stronger then than they were ever before. And but maybe, you know, I remember him telling me after the end of one of my interviews with him in the Oval Office, he drew me aside at the end. He said, you know, just between you and me, he says, to know that down there in the bureaucracy underneath are all those people just waiting until we leave and they can resume the growth of these programs and are fighting us every step of the way. He talked about the bureaucracy like it was a subterranean group of people.
Bunch of trolls or something.
An almost conspiratorial whisper. And of course, I use that quote. It's a great quote. And you know, Kennedy complained about the bureaucracy as well.
Right.
And I think he regrets that he wasn't able to get rid of more programs that he wanted to. But he believed in compromise, and in the end, it was to bring down the evil empire and get the American economy back, and he did those things in a big way.
For those two things, he will always be remembered, and we're still benefiting from that legacy in both counts, aren't we?
We sure are. And there were those, you know, today, I heard on the other day, Haynes Johnson of the Washington Post saying, well, lots of other presidents fought the Cold War, but it was only Reagan who declared
right.
it was an evil empire. And then challenged it after a period when Nixon, of course, over 8 years, was pursuing a policy of detente, which to me was really, and many other people, another word for appeasement.
Right.
We had to get along. Reagan said, no, we're not going to just get along. We're going to bring it down. We're going to challenge them.
Right.
And there was, and that's what he did, and he was successful.
Thank you, Don Lambro, for being here. It's always a pleasure. I appreciate your perspective this morning.
Thank you, Jim.
See you later. Don Lambro, ladies and gentlemen, with the Washington Times. Check his column out at WashingtonTimes.com. He'll be back another day. Quick break, 29 after. I'll be right back with Karen Kerrigan. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.